You have a broken guitar? Don't fret. Take the scenic drive to Fort Atkinson to Jeff's Guitar Clinic. We'll have you fretting your guitar in no time at all. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic, we love guitars.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers, Madison Firefighters, Madison Teachers, and Madison Teamsters. Joining us now, one of the candidates for the 77th Assembly District, which has not been an open seat since 1998. The candidate I've endorsed, Sheila Stubbs, who's currently on the county board. Sheila, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Honored to be here.
Well, I'm honored to support you.
Thank you.
You have a record of accomplishment. Today, I want people to get to know you. What have you been up to, other than being on the county board? Tell us about yourself.
Well, wonderful. I'm a mom. I'm a neighborhood organizer. I'm an advocate. I'm a teacher, county board supervisor. I've been busy. I'm a reformer, and I think that's what's important right now, to be a fighter. I am a fighter, and this is exactly what we need during these extremely difficult and challenging moments, and someone who's just going to stand up and get things done.
Not so easy right now.
No, it's not. But you know what I do? I have the audacity to have hope. I get up every day knowing there's something I need to do and press forward to get done. No one's going to take away my hope. But as I do this, I'm grateful that I will inspire others to get engaged, to get involved, to get informed, but most importantly, to have their voice engaged.
All right, tell the story, though. I want to know where you grow up, how you end up in Madison, what you've done in your career. Tell us more about yourself.
Wonderful. So I'm originally from Arkansas. I was born in Arkansas, Camden, Arkansas, a little small town. My mom moved to Beloit, which is about 45 minutes from here, at age 5. So I grew up in Beloit. A very small, engaged community that was very active in education and steelworking and auto industries. We were by the GMs and the Chryslers. So it was a wonderful community to grow up in. But while I was there, my mom was watching TV one night. And as she was watching TV, she saw a community in Madison called the Notorious Simpson Street. For those out there that have understood Simpson Street, the media gave it a specific name because it was an at-risk community. Lots of gangs, lots of drugs, lots of crime. And guess what my mom decided to do? She said, let's move in. So as people were running out of this community, here we was running into this community.
Simpson Street was a pejorative. So was Somerset Circle. These were names used with derision.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what my mom taught me? That I need to give back, to do something positive. And that's what I've been embedded in all my life, to always give back in any capacity that I could do, but to make communities different. So I went back and we revitalized the neighborhood because of great workers like myself, great volunteers, great leaders, and people that believe in change.
How do you do that?
Well, because it's just a part of what I've been braced to do,
How did Simpson Street turn around?
Because of leaders like myself. There was a number of us, and what we did, we worked with the neighbors. We work with law enforcement. We work with probation and parole. We work with Joining Forces for Families. We put together an advisory group, and we stood up for what we needed in that neighborhood. You know, it's really hard to stand up every day and go to work, and if you have an address that says Simpson Street, you're treated differently in the line when you're writing a check than a different address. So the first thing we did, we changed the name of the street. That got rid of a lot of problems right there. But because
see, now that seems like it would be superficial, but it made a difference.
It made a difference. I can say firsthand as a probation parole agent, when people were released from prison, they went back looking for that street. It no longer existed. So that was a plus because we wanted them to go and make a better life other places within the community, not go back to what it used to be.
You know, I remember getting in a terrible argument with then-Mayor Sue Bauman. They had declared one of those apartment buildings a drug house and kicked out women and children that had done nothing wrong, right? But the building got labeled something, and I didn't like the idea that people would, just by circumstance of what building they were living in, get tossed out and be thrown into the abyss.
And I would say that firsthand. There were many families that we saved because that was exactly it. We had drug dealers. We know there are drug units. But sometimes women made relationships that weren't the best relationship. And one of my thoughts is, well, you see, that's a drug dealer, right? And you get them when they were in the parking lot. You were waiting for this young lady who had 4 or 5 kids. And now what's happening, Sly, as a result of that, kids have gotten into our foster care systems and our residential care, higher disparity rate. When we could have come in and helped those families, we didn't.
Okay, so then how old were you when you moved to Madison?
Oh, I had to be at least 24.
Okay, so you were a grown-up by the time you came here. But you came up here with your mother.
With my mom. Mom and I.
Okay. And then what? Then what did you do once you got up here and started working in the neighborhood?
Oh, my God. I love the neighborhood. Must I say that? I've never stopped.
You don't live far from the neighborhood.
I still live there.
Right.
I never left. That's how I've been so inclusive. But then I actually ran for county board because I had a county board supervisor who wasn't representing us for 4 years, who moved into the neighborhood, who said, hey, I'm going to do the best I can for your neighborhood. He never voted our belief systems. So I didn't talk about it. I got up and did something about it. I ran against him, and I beat him.
Now, you've been a probation and parole officer as well?
8 years.
How does that fit into all this? Did you work for the state?
I did.
Okay.
I worked a very specific program called Enhanced Supervision Pilot Program. It was 3 in the state of Wisconsin. So I focus on your higher risk offenders in our neighborhoods that came directly from prison.
What did you learn from doing that?
I learned that I thought I could make a big difference being an agent, but I realized it's a policy. So that was some of the points that engaged me on. It's great. It was
so
like
you
a
felt
window
hamstrung
view
by the policy?
I did. I felt like we weren't doing enough to do diversion programs and alternatives. We were revoking people at a higher rate than trying to give them a chance to get back in our community. It was a problem for me.
So here's a conundrum. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of arguments about sentencing people. I hear police say, look, in Chicago and Milwaukee, we've got these carjackers, and yet people keep getting turned back out on the street. We want to protect communities. You know, there was a African-American woman killed going to church the other day in Chicago because she got carjacked. How do you protect a community? You've got to have safety for a community to be vibrant and stop the pipeline to prison. How do you do two? That's not an easy, you're walking a tightrope here.
That's right. Where there's different levels of offense. There's low risk, there's medium risk, and there's high risk. Our high risk offenders need more monitoring. So you do the GPS systems. You have them come in and see an agent more often, maybe 2 or 3 times a week, versus someone you began to monitor once and once. The other piece is they need support systems. I mean, you learn how risk they are, residence, employment, support, treatment, transportation. When we identify those levels, we are building community. So we need to figure out their risk levels. Lower risk level offenders, we don't need to monitor as closely.
Should Wisconsin move its prisons to different locations? I see these prisons in Waupun and Green Bay. And look, the population center is from Madison to Milwaukee down to Racine and Kenosha. That's the population center, right? Don't families have to be engaged with people when they're incarcerated?
Absolutely. That is something I've always stood up for. We need to make sure that they have that communication and visits, personal visit, conjugate visits. That's critical. Not just the phone visits, not just video conferences, but face-to-face visits, touching one another. That's critical for me.
So you've had quite an interesting experience growing up in Beloit, coming to Madison, dealing with a neighborhood that had challenges, probation and parole. You've been on a county board in the second largest county of the state. And if you are elected, by the way, the election is August 14th. There is no general election.
Because absolutely.
There aren't many Republicans left in the, there used to be quite a few Republicans in the district, but as the party lurched rightward, they're gone. You would be the first African-American legislator to serve from Dane County, which is pretty remarkable, right?
Absolutely. Overdue. Must I say.
By a couple decades, right?
Why so long?
Right. Well, it wasn't really until the 1950s that there was an African-American legislator, even from Milwaukee, in the legislature, right?
The late Polly Williams.
Right.
Who served for over 30 years.
I think there was one, there may have been one even before, Lloyd Barbie, I think was his name. He was in, you know, even before her. But in the scheme of things in history, not all that long ago.
No. And there's absolutely zero African-American state legislatures right now of 99.
So?
At the assembly level.
At the assembly? What do you mean, out of 99?
Out of the 99 state assembly representatives, zero are African-American women.
None? Really?
Zero. We have two state senators, Senator Taylor and Senator Johnson from Milwaukee.
Wow. Pretty remarkable.
Yes, sir. Lots of history gone.
What do you want to do in the legislature?
The first thing I want to do is represent the people. That is something I feel that we've lost contact in. What is it that the people need? What is it that the people want? They want their voices heard. They want change. They want to be listened to. So I would focus on education. I focus on racial disparities. I focus on protecting our environment, defending a woman's right to choose, making sure as many Wisconsinites as possible get health care, securing safety nets for seniors and disabilities, people, our most vulnerable populations, and tougher gun laws. I mean, that's what I'm going to work on. That's what I've been hearing people in the district talk about.
So the 77th Assembly District is a very politically active district. So you've got a bunch of competitors. You've got a bunch of people running. As far as I can see, they're all people that are committed to some sort of public service. What do you think differentiates you?
Experience. I have 13 years of experience doing this type of work as an elected official. I've actually had to balance a budget of $500 million. That makes a difference. I've stood up. I've made hard choices. I've taken hard votes. But most importantly, I've been a changer. I have a proven record. I'm not just going to give you a problem and not give you a solution. I'm effective. I'm bold. I'm passionate. But I'll be a voice. And that's what this district needs. This district needs a fighter, someone who's not going to be afraid to stand up for our belief systems. And guess what? My seat's not for sale. My vote's not for sale. I'm in this to win it and to win it for our district.
So this is a district that has not had a male representative. I've lived most of my life. I'm from Milwaukee originally, but I've lived most of my life in this district. For many years, it was the 76th Assembly District. I think since about 1972, there has not been one man elected to this district. It's been Mary Lou Muntz and Becky Young and Therese Brousseau. So once you get in this district, you stay a long time, but it seems to be a district that prefers female representation. What beyond what they've done, and they're all good legislators. Every one of them was a good legislator. I think Rebecca Young might have been one of the best legislators ever to serve. I think I told you that the first time I met you. Yeah. You say you want to be a voice of the people. Who's not being heard right now, specifically?
I think communities of color aren't really being engaged. I attended a LaSoup meeting, and they said, what is community engagement? Where's our representation? Who's going to fight for us? And I think that's what makes me a very unique candidate. I understand communities of color. I understand diverse populations. I understand cities. I'm a woman. I'm a mom. I'm a pastor. It's different capacities that I've worked in. I'm a teacher. And so I think that makes me very exposed. I understand the criminal justice system. I understand politics. I understand neighborhoods. So I'm coming in with a number of different expertise or focuses. And that's what you need. You need a representative who can actually deal with a number of different sectors in life, not just one specific area. And that's what we really need, well-versed representative.
All right, we'll talk about some of the people you're running into as you do doors in a somewhat diverse district, right? Sheila Stubbs with us at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
When you hire a lawyer to help you with your personal injury, you want to know that you'll have that lawyer's personal attention. With John and I, that's exactly what you'll get. With many firms, the lawyer that you see in the ad is not the lawyer who is going to be representing you in the case.
One of the differences with Mike and my practice is that when you hire us, you'll have us personally involved in your case.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
We're back with Sheila Stubbs, SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Also, great local sponsors like SNR Remodeling and Madison Computer Works. All right, So you've been, Sheila, obviously, is a county board member from the south side of Milwaukee.
Yay,
Milwaukee.
South
Did
side
I just
of
said
Madison.
I just said Milwaukee. I don't know why. It's my hometown, Milwaukee. So anyway, Sheila's from the south side of Madison, but she would represent great swatches of the near west side of Madison, where I live now in Westmoreland. I was at one of your fundraisers a block from my house the other day, and boy, you had people revved up.
That's exciting. I consider myself an exciting candidate.
You are an exciting candidate.
And I know what? This is what our party needs. We need someone who's going to be energetic, who's going to bring unification. That's who I am. That's who I'll always be. I unify.
Okay. So you've been going to quite a few neighborhoods on the west side of Madison. What are people telling you at the doors?
They're excited I'm running. Some people are saying, I'm so glad that we have a candidate of a person of color. You know, I never thought that would have happened. And many of them have shared, they never thought we would have.
You're talking about the white people in the district.
Absolutely.
The Subaru drivers that live in the west.
I don't know what vehicles they're driving or what.
Oh, you're going to see a lot of Subarus.
They could be on a bicycle, but they're telling me what it is.
Okay, so what are they? All right, they're excited that you're running. Do they know you? Because your district is a little ways away from a lot of the rest of the district because we got these darn lakes in the way, right?
Yeah.
They know about your candidacy.
Yeah, some of them do. Some of them have said, I've been reading about you. I know that, you know, it's so unfortunate these racial disparities exist. And I'm like, yeah, they exist. And so I think that's been one caption. Another piece has been, you know, me doing the sexual harassment mandatory resolution requiring all county employees participate. And people have said, I'm glad that's happening. But I think most importantly, they said, I'm glad to see a woman running. This is the year of the woman. I've heard that a lot at the doors. I've heard people say, you know what, you're educated. You're a teacher. We're glad you're getting it. You understand us. And then as some people have said, well, I don't know you, but I've been reading your platform. It makes sense to me. But one thing I'm not afraid to do, Sly, is talk with people. I'm not afraid to engage in people. Yeah, that's some part of the community that's never met me. But I'm not afraid to go there. And that's what I'm saying. It takes real commitment. That's what I've been doing all my life.
Any dog bites yet?
Not yet. I wish they could vote for me, though. If the mosquitoes could vote, that's it.
So right now we're in a situation where we have a governor and a legislature that have attacked so many people in Madison, specifically on the issue of labor rights. It's had a huge impact on this community. There are, you know, people kind of forget about it, but there are a lot of people that work two jobs now rather than one because of Act 10. And then you've got people in the building trades have been affected because they went after prevailing wage. You've got people that were affected by the right to work laws. You've got people that are going to be affected because they're attacking project labor agreements, right?
Right.
Okay, because they will do anything they can to lower wages. This is a current government in Wisconsin, and we deal with a lot of labor issues on this podcast that are literally attacking labor at every chance that they can. Are you going to be, I know you're going to vote the right way on repealing all these things that Republicans done. Be nice if it could be done in one fell swoop, right?
That's right.
But are you going to give workers and people in labor a voice?
I have always been a friend of labor. Every opportunity on any job I've had to join the unions, I have. Not only did I pay my money, I gave my time. Not only did I give my time, I ever gave them issues. But I've been there. I've always been there. One of the factors that I will say very clearly is I will stand up and repeal Act 10. One of the first things that I will do. But I will not forget my labor brothers and sisters. They're the experts. They'll always be invited to the office. The door is open. That's what you need. You need someone who's going to continue to be a voice. And I'm going to tell you right now, it will be done. We will repeal Act 10. But the other factor, really important at the county board level, when we saw Act 10 happen, we immediately put together an employee handbook to
right.
work with labor management, to focus on salaries and benefits and keep great relationships going forward. That's what we need to continue to do. Every opportunity I've had to do it, I've been a part of it, and it's worked.
When it comes to the legislature, we don't know what the makeup's going to be.
And I must say that I have the endorsement of MTI. As a teacher, that is important. Ask me. WEAC. They're critical endorsements. Mom Demand Action. Endorsements that are critical. It's important because they understand I am a fighter. Ask me. They understand I'm a fighter. And they know firsthand that's what it's going to take to get in that Capitol and change policy. A fighter.
Do you think your fight for making sure that county workers didn't get left behind after Act 10 in the handbook and everything is the reason you got all these union endorsements?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think firsthand they know I've always been a worker. I've been committed. I'm always at the table. Anytime unions call me, labor call me, I meet with them. I've had to hear those conversations where sometimes there's been a problem through management. And I've been, I've been a solver. I chaired the Health and Human Needs Committee for 5 years at the county. I have a number of issues, and I worked with labor to solve those issues.
If you win this seat, do you think you can be, you're already a role model, but do you think that the story of this election can be an inspiration for young women in struggling communities in Dane County, that you can be kind of an example that other girls can look up to?
Absolutely. Hard work pays off. That's what my family's always taught me. I knew I was different. I knew I was up for a great battle. But you know what? It's like people believe in me and I believe in them. And that's what's going to make a difference. Any opportunity I'm given, even right now, as a county board supervisor to talk to classes or young lady or whatever classes I can, I take that.
My mother was the first chairman of the board of directors of Planned Parenthood when I was a little boy in Milwaukee. She was way ahead of her time. So she instilled on me that, young man, you're going to be pro-choice. and she was a churchgoer. Your feelings on, right now, abortion is illegal in Wisconsin. The only thing saving Wisconsin, women's right to choose in Wisconsin, is Roe v. Wade. There are some that say we need to undo that law in Wisconsin so women have the right to choose codified in state law. How do you feel about that?
A woman's right is a woman's right to choose. I would defend any woman's rights that I can because it is their choice. And we have to stand up and continue to allow people to have choices. This is not dictatorship. And that's what we have to continue to allow people to do, to make choices. I will defend that to the very end.
Some are concerned with this new Supreme Court, these new justices being added, that some of the gains for LGBT communities could obviously be either erased or pushed back. And obviously we have a governor and a legislature that is not pro-LGBT. Ironically, it was a Republican governor way back in the early 80s, Lee Dreyfus, that actually signed some of the non-discrimination laws. But we don't have a governor like that. Are you going to fight to make sure that things are not rolled back?
Absolutely. I support all LGBTQ rights at the county level. I signed on to domestic partnerships. We have to stop dividing people. We have to stop dividing this country and this state. We have to get back to inclusion. I will represent the people. That's who I am. That's what I'll always be. Those are my beliefs. I'm going to fight for everyone in this country, everyone in this state, and everyone in District 77.
You will not be a wallflower in the legislature.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, day one, I'm knocking on every door. Knock, knock, who's there? Sheila Stubbs.
Sheila Stubbs, if people want to see your website and see what your platform's all about, where do they go?
www.sheila.stubbs.com. Come on and join us. We're excited, we're motivated, and we are going to win.
Thanks for coming to SliceOffice.com.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day in mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going. support our families, and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.